Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bible Study. And Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for empowering us and anointing us to be hearers of your word and be prepared for the things that are coming. We thank you so much, Lord, for your mercy towards us and showing us these wonderful things. And in Jesus' name, we thank you for your anointing upon us to act as you would. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'm going to share. I'm going to continue with our series that we have done on and off called God Warns of Coming Pestilence. This is number 10. We keep getting revelations because God keeps giving us revelations. So I want to share this revelation with you. We called it Babylon in the U.S. Devours Itself. It's some good news here. This was given to Sandy Shaw on September the 20th, this 2018. And it was transcribed by Don and Merlene Laughlin. And I'm going to share with you what I feel the Lord is showing us through this, okay? First, I want to offer you this question. The man-child reformers are coming to lead the elect church out of Babylon and Babylonish religion and into the wilderness for the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, according to Revelation 12. I'm not saying that this is starting immediately. I don't believe that. But it is coming, okay? How would they follow anyone but their own apostate leaders, which they worship? Something has to deliver them from their apostate religious institutions and the men who rule over them so that they can actually hear the voice of the reformers that are coming. So listen carefully to this revelation. In a dream, Sandy said, Merlene, Sue, Gilbert, Amber, Debbie, Sandy, and Delilah. Apparently, Delilah was a new person in our fellowship, at least for this dream's sake, to show us something. We were all in front of Amber's house just talking, and then Delilah said, there's a family hiding out in some caverns. Now, since I have the advantage of knowing the rest of this dream, I believe that they were hiding from the deep state soldiers and undercover from biologicals and chemtrails. So, continuing on, Delilah said, and you two are about the right size to bring them out, glancing at me and Merlene. They were both short people, so she was saying this. I said, I don't think we should go. I think the men should. And Sue said, the men aren't here. They're all out. She thought they were out ministering or doing something, you know. And Delilah said, we need to go before the soldiers find out. We need to go now. I said, no, we need to ask the Lord. Who's got a Bible? And Amber said, I've got one. And we got Ezekiel 3:17-18. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. So after looking at this, I said, no, the Lord is saying no. Then Delilah said, you just can't leave those people there. There's even a little baby wanting a strong sign from God. I said, we need 5 quarters. And Delilah said, 5 quarters? Why so much? And I said, so that there is no mistake, and 5 is grace. And I threw them up in the air, and they fell as 5 tails, meaning no. I said, I know the Lord is saying no. So, but Delilah wouldn't give up because she wanted these people out from under that covering. Okay, she wanted to be a Judas. Then Delilah was pleading with us to please go and said, and I even have rubber boots for you. So Delilah was a Judas to Samson, if you remember, and cut off his hair and a sign of submission to the Lord, according to Paul, and so took away his strength so that the Philistine beast could conquer him. So factious traitors like Delilah take away Christian strength by getting them to disobey the Lord. This has been our experience. That's exactly what they constantly try to do, is get you to disobey God's word, his commands, which are safety, really, to us, you know. And in this case, so that the beast can conquer them. She wanted us to bring them out from under cover, like Judas did, right? Then she runs to her car and brings out two pairs. And I said, I'm not putting those on. They are used. I don't know who wore them, and they're rubber. Sometimes people's feet sweat and stink, and we told you that we're not going to do this. Merlene was holding a pair in her hand, and I said, no, Merlene, we can't go. Let's go see the place so that we can tell the men when they get back. So then we went to a place where there was a lot of land and away from any busy streets. We had passed a shed and had walked about a mile, and we could see in the distance a building made of stones. And when we got to this point, I was reminded that on the guide stones, the elite report their plan to get the population down to an acceptable level. I forget what it is for them. And of course, that's what they do. This is why they love to start wars and plagues, etc. These are sacrifices to Satan in order to gain strength from Satan. That's what they think. This style of building was definitely not of these times, she said. Well, that, and the guide stones don't appear to be of this time either, you know. And as Delilah got close, she got more excited. Yeah, the factious want to destroy the righteous, but they're going to reap what they sow. And as we go on, you'll see that. And then we saw an old pool, but without any steps going down. We were standing near the shallow end, which was probably about 4 feet, and there were three archways with pillars going across the pool at the end, which was 12 feet deep. Well, now what good would these boots do, right? They're not going to keep the water off of you. In other words, they're not going to deliver you from the curse of the water. Obviously, this led to this cave, this cavern, you know, where the people were. Okay. As Delilah was talking, we were looking. She said, people are waiting in the caverns, still trying to get them to disobey what God was impressing them. In other words, hiding from the factious governments and chemtrail presence. She wanted them to be revealed, wanted them to be brought out like they needed salvation, you know. But actually, it was a trap. And I said, wow, there's no way in and there's no steps out. That's a trap. It's like Judas, as he had laid a trap for the Lord, right? Something that the Lord already knew about. Before I could finish my sentence, she pushed me into the dry pool. I said, what in the world are you doing? I looked at Sue and Merlene and said, would you guys help me to get out? And they were bending down to help me, and Delilah pushed Merlene in. I was trying to catch her like a baby, and we both fell at the same time. And then I noticed on the right and the left side of the pool were pictures of the head of Medusa. Okay. According to Wikipedia, in Greek mythology, Medusa means guardian, protectress, and she was a monster, a gorgon, generally described as a winged human female with living venomous snakes in place of hair. And gazers upon her face would turn to stone. Well, you know, venomous snakes, we've already had dreams about that, right? But gazers upon her face would turn to stone. Sounds like Hillary, who appears next in the dream, as a matter of fact, and has killed many. We have had a dream of venomous coral snakes falling from the chemtrails to kill many in a biological attack to take down the Christians, but instead taking down the factious. Wow, how does that fit? Very well. Even now, the deep state is ratting on one another as fast as they can. Every time one of them gets caught, they turn state's evidence and begin telling on all the rest of them. And so it's working. It's working. God is working. We're praying for exactly that, and that's what's happening. It is it's devouring itself. Pharaoh and his army came to the Red Sea to destroy God's people, but was destroyed themselves. Sennacherib came with his army to destroy Jerusalem, a type of the bride, but was destroyed themselves. The northern army in Joel 2 came to destroy God's people in Jerusalem, but were destroyed themselves. The armies came against Jerusalem under Jehoshaphat to destroy themselves instead. That's right. And according to these types we have received many times in our morning prayer meetings, the deep state will bring down many enemies of Christianity, including factious people in the church and in the government, including themselves. And also factious leadership out there in the different little organizations of Christendom who are keeping them in bondage. We've learned that God's going to take them people out one way or the other. And if they release a biological weapon, you know that the angels can take it to whoever God wants. One angel smote 185,000 of Sennacherib's troops, his mighty men, the Bible says. So how does just the mighty men get taken out by a pestilence? Well, because that's how good those angels are. Here's an article I want to share with you. It's called Trump Declaration of National Emergency as Disease X Alarm Sounded by Sorcha Fall 9/21/18. I'll put a link here to the full article. But in part, it says, President Donald Trump has just invoked his national emergency declaration powers to confront as yet unnamed biological threat now threatening the United States. With Trump's emergency declaration coming swiftly on the heels of U.S. multi-billionaire tech giant Bill Gates warning that the world is not prepared for disease X, but whose warning does not apply to Gates' fellow tech titans who have prepared themselves for this apocalypse by building massive doomsday bunkers throughout the isolated Pacific Ocean island nation of New Zealand. But you know, it only takes an angel to bring that disease into the bunker, because they must reap what they sow, and the trap that they lay, they must fall into, because the Bible says it must happen. Uh-oh. Okay. Also, on the text here that we're going to post on the site, I'm going to give you another one from All News Pipeline, which says, Disease X is a man-made pandemic. And I think he references Deagle.php there. Okay, and here's Bill Gates's thing. And this was by Tyler Durden, 1918. And Bill Gates, the threat of a disease X global pandemic is very real. Yes, we know. And I'll give you the whole article here, but here's a portion of it. When it comes to global health policy, Bill Gates has never been known for subtlety. So it's hardly surprising that his charitable foundation's latest report on the greatest challenges facing mankind might make some readers want to lock themselves in an indefinite quarantine. Readers familiar with Gates' previous warnings about the rising risk of a global pandemic will recognize the top three risks: antibiotic resistance, governmental reluctance to fund healthcare solutions, and the next global contagion. The next global contagion. See, if they're going to lose power, they're going to lower the population. And if that helps them to sustain their power, they're going to do it all the more. They have no conscience whatsoever. These are merciless mass killers that are at the top of the deep state. And of course, all these people are headed for martial law and Gitmo and places like that. So, and they know it, so they have to stop it at all costs. They have to stop it. Tyler goes on to say, the latter risk factor has become so universally feared by health professionals that the World Health Organization already has a name for it. Quote, disease X, unquote. The likelihood of an explosive global pandemic breaking out in the relatively near future increases along with the population in the world's poorest countries, which are presently experiencing explosive population growth, even as birth rates in the developed world plummet. And if the world's wealthiest countries don't invest resources to combat these issues in Africa, South America, and Asia now, it will be infinitely more expensive grappling with the consequences on the back end, as Gates explained in an interview with The Telegraph. He said, we are not fully prepared for the next global pandemic, he says. The threat of the unknown pathogen, highly contagious, lethal, fast-moving, is real. It could be a mutated flu strain or something else entirely. The swine flu and 2014 Ebola outbreaks underscored the threat. And, of course, right after he made this announcement, that's when Trump jumped into action. So it's very fishy, isn't it? I think he knows. So let me just say at this point, I'm not discounting other judgments that are now coming. We've already reported on them. We know they're coming. And Babylon destroyed the apostates by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence. Soros is said to have an army of 400,000 faction-infected people to flood the U.S. with mayhem. And I am convinced that there will be burning of churches like there was years ago, but worse. And I get that from verses that we've received in the morning. Plus all the radical Muslims practicing in the U.S. to overthrow the country, plus the earthquakes that our dreams have shown us were designed by deep state to go places that they never would have gone, even with Planet X. In other words, they have planned to magnify the problem, and that our dreams has revealed too. Sandy had some of those dreams. Martial law from any of these things, plus pestilence itself, could bring famine, like we saw flooding from hurricanes and man-made and guided storms, etc., etc. As always, we pray against these warnings, at least for the righteous, the righteous elect. But many are under the curse, and there's only one thing they can do to come out from under that is repent and believe. Their unbelief and their disobedience has brought them under a curse, and God is going to judge. So back to Sandy's dream here. I started to hear water, and I looked behind me, and it was coming from the middle arch. In other words, back towards the cavern, right? Then a few minutes later, it started coming out of the other two arches. So this, I believe, is a symbol of the Red Sea of destruction. Remember, they went after the righteous. They took themselves out. We hurried up to get Merlene, to get her out. By that time, the water was at the waist. And then I remember the shed. And I said, hey, maybe there's a rubber hose or rope that we could use. And Sue said, I'll go get it, and started running. Now, here's where the scene changes a little bit. Then all of a sudden, Hillary Clinton, I believe representing spirits of witchcraft, Satanism, faction, murder, in the deep state government, started yelling at Delilah. I sent you out here for one thing, she said to Delilah. Oh, my goodness. Now we can see that witchcraft and factious government sent their witchcraft factious spirits into the church to destroy it. Do you know the witches openly joined together around the world to try to curse Trump? And I am sure that they cursed themselves. Because when they did that, we prayed. So they have been sending this evil into the church to try to destroy the people that they know are their enemies. Mm-hmm. Hillary went on to say, and you couldn't even do that right. I sent you out here for one thing, and you couldn't even do that right. You stupid, ignorant witch. Notice, witchcraft in the faction, right? So Hillary then pushed her into the water, pushed Delilah into the water. And that time she was in the deeper part of the pool, barely sticking her head out, saying, ma'am, I can't swim. Okay. So let's see if this fits with anything we know about. I mean, Hillary, I believe, is going to turn on her helpers, as she did after the election, to destroy them. Her plague, I believe, will take down the faction in a Red Sea of destruction. Psalm 141, 9 and 10 says, keep me from the snare which they have laid for me, and from the gins of the workers of iniquity, or the traps of the workers of iniquity. Let the wicked fall into their own nets, whilst that I withal escape. Oh, can God do that? He does it all the time. Yes, and his word is full of it. And as the types and shadows that I've already shared, you can see that's exactly what happened. So now she is turning on her own and taking out her own. Are they going to do that purposely? Probably, but even if they don't, they're still going to do it. Because like I said, the angels have control. I mean, once they turn the pestilence loose, wherever it goes, no matter who puts it there, even if it's the angels, they're going to get the blame for it, right? So in effect, these people are going to die from a false flag just like they're so popular to use. Psalm 35, 7 and 8, for without cause have they hid for me their net in a pit. Without cause have they digged a pit for my soul. Let destruction come upon him unawares, and let his net that he hath hid catch himself. With destruction let him fall therein. Well, okay, Lord, this was written by you, spoken by you, not any hate from man. It was a judgment spoken by you, and we know it's going to come to pass. Psalm 7, 15 and 16. He hath made a pit and digged it, and is fallen into the ditch which he made. His mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violence shall come down on his own pate. Psalm 57 and 6. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me. And there it was, right there. They fell into it, but they got out of it. They have digged a pit before me. They are fallen into the midst thereof themselves. Okay. Selah. Proverbs 26 and 27. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein. And he that rolleth a stone, it shall return upon him. Ecclesiastes 10 and 8 says, he that diggeth a pit shall fall into it. And whoso breaketh through a wall, a serpent shall bite him. Psalm 37, 14 and 15. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, to slay such as are upright in the way. Their sword shall enter into their own heart. Their bows shall be broken. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I believe the Lord is going to use this to take out the wicked, just like the Red Sea, just like all the other types. And he may take out some people who don't need to be here. I'm talking about Christians who are not going to be lost, but they don't need to be here anymore. He may take out some of them. But he's going to take out the people who are keeping God's people in bondage, which is what happened at the Red Sea. Do you know out there where some people are keeping God's people in bondage? Well, watch those people. Because I believe God is planning to take them out. And their bows shall be broken. And Proverbs 28 and 10, whoso causeth the upright to go astray in an evil way, he shall fall himself into his own pit. But the perfect shall inherit good. So Delilah went into the pit, who was working spiritually for Hillary. Matthew 7, 1 through 3. Judge not that you be not judged. And there's so many people out there that want to judge. They take liberty, put themselves in the place of God to judge other people. And he says they're going to be judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. There it is. Same trap that they lay, they fall into it themselves. And with what measure you meet, in other words, however you measure it out to the others, it's going to come to you. And it says, it shall be measured unto you. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? And Sandy went on to say, and during the time that they were yelling at each other, Sue got back to tie the rope around my waist. Then Missy came running. I said, "Shh, pull me out." So Missy and Merlene were pulling on the rope, and Sue pulled on my left arm and using my right hand on the edge to help get me out. So what do we see? The righteous will escape the pit dug for them, but the wicked faction sent by Hillary's witchcraft will fall in their stead. I want to say this includes Hillary, too, because we're about to see that. Delilah was drowning, and the water was way up now. You could hear Delilah say, "Please help me." So the breath of Judas was cut off by his own treacherous hands, and that's basically what we see here. But we couldn't get to her. Hillary said, looking down at Delilah, "Oh my, it looks like you're in a dilemma." And then I walked up to her and said, "What in the world do you think you're doing?" And I was right in her face. And before she could answer, I said, "In the name of Jesus, you can do nothing. Nothing. We are covered by the blood." Then Hillary just went poof, and she was gone. You know what? I think that's coming too. Poof, she'll be gone. Then I woke up at 2:22. Oh, gosh. And when we started writing this dream, it was 2:22 p.m. Oh, good sign, right? So Hillary can do nothing to take out the elect who are under the blood. 2:22 represents division or faction. What is God dividing? He is dividing the wicked from among the righteous. He is gathering them into bundles to burn them, as the Bible says. And if you want to see a 2:22, here's one. Proverbs 2, I'm going to include 21 and 22. So Proverbs 2:22. "For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it." See, the perfect shall remain in it. See, what's going to happen to the wicked? Are they going to be removed from the land? That is the promised land? Yes, 22. "But the wicked shall be cut off from the land, and the treacherous, like Delilah and Hillary, shall be rooted out of it." And the Lord gave us, by faith at random, Isaiah 13:22. "And wolves shall cry in their castles, and jackals in their pleasant palaces." Okay, palaces, yeah, those are palaces. These are the predators in the palaces, right? "And their time is near to come, and her days shall not be prolonged." Now, that's got to include Delilah and Hillary, I believe. "The righteous will abandon their churches, and the predators will be left." So let me continue on. This is a second revelation is given to Sandy Shaw and Merlene Laughlin, and it's called "Babylon's Destruction on the Apostate Kingdom." Okay. Sandy was asking for a verse for a sister who left. And by faith at random, she got Ezekiel 21:5, and her finger directly on "not to return" in the NASB. And we were discussing it. We looked at each other and said, "Wow." Then the Lord had Sandy look down on the Bible and so read verse 7. On with each of us taking turns reading until the last verse in the chapter. And Sandy thought, "This text is for the body." And when she continued to read it out loud, Merlene said, "This is not just for her, but for the whole body." So she thought it, and then Merlene said it. Sandy said, I'm taking that as a second confirmation, and the third will be David when he reads this, and tells the whole body." Yeah. Well, I did that with the local body, and now I'm doing it with the larger body. So it appears to mean, well, here's the verse that you got. Ezekiel 21:5-7. And all flesh shall know that I, the Lord, have drawn forth my sword out of its sheath. It shall not return any more. Sigh, therefore, thou son of man, with the breaking of thy loins, and with bitterness shalt thou sigh before their eyes. And it shall be, when they shall say unto thee, Wherefore sighest thou? That thou shalt say, Because of the tidings. For it cometh, and every heart shall melt, and all hands shall be feeble, and every spirit shall faint, and all knees shall be weak as water. Behold, it cometh, it shall be done, says the Lord. Oh, so what does this text speak about? It speaks of the destruction of the apostate leadership sitting on David's throne, Zedekiah. Zedekiah's kingdom was the end of the kingdom of David. It was destroyed by Babylon until the time that Jesus, the man-child, sat on David's throne, which was prophesied a little below this in 25-27, which I'll read in just a second. So this will be repeated in our day when the apostate leadership of God's people is destroyed by the Babylonish deep state, and Jesus comes in the man-child David ministry. Here's that text, Ezekiel 21:25-27. And thou, O deadly wounded wicked one, the prince of Israel, that was Zedekiah, whose day is come in the time of the iniquity of the end. So there was a time of the end for Zedekiah, and there is coming now a time of the end for Christianity's apostate leadership. And verse 26 says, Thus saith the Lord, remove the mitre, take off the crown, this shall be no more the same. Exalt that which is low, abase that which is high. So, remove the mitre, take off the crown. They're going to remove the leadership, this apostate leadership over God's people. They have been taken into captivity to this apostasy. In verse 27, I will overturn it. This also shall be no more. Okay, so this kingdom of Zedekiah would be no more. Till when? He goes on to say, until he come whose right it is, and I will give it him. Oh my goodness. Okay, so let me try to explain this to you. The three overturns of the apostate kingdom, I believe, was Babylon, Media Persia, and Greece, who took authority over the people of God so that they weren't ruled directly by David's seed, right? Now, the fourth kingdom, Rome, didn't overthrow a kingdom. So there's three overthrowings there, Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece. Rome didn't overthrow a kingdom which Jesus said is not of this world. Because Jesus, the man-child, son of David, sat on David's spiritual throne. And they couldn't overthrow that. So you see, until he shall come to whom the right is given. That was Jesus. Now just remember this, Ecclesiastes 1:9. That which hath been is that which shall be, and that which hath been done is that which shall be done. There is no new thing under the sun. In other words, that is going to be repeated in our day. When the apostates are overthrown in the life of the true disciples, when Jesus comes manifested in the man-child body of David to lead a body out of the apostates and into the wilderness tribulation. Again, until he shall come to whom the right is due, right? Wow, that was very exact, wasn't it? Very exact. So that's the answer to my question that I started out with. What is going to deliver these people from bondage to these things which they worship, these idol people and idol kingdoms that they so worship? And they believe that's it. This is only it. But all of that's going to fail. Again, I point out, what does pestilence do when you gather in a big church building with a lot of people? Well, first of all, most of them are not going to show up because they don't have faith to do that. You know, all of a sudden, you know what they're probably going to do? They're probably going to go on the internet and start looking for some kind of source that can help them, because their church hasn't helped them and didn't know this was coming and wasn't going to tell them if they did. So let me say, double fulfillment prophecies of Jesus and the end time Jesus and the man-child. Let me share them with you. Ezekiel 34 and 23. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. So Jesus is coming once again to sit on the throne of David in a body of the son of David, not physical David, because we're not talking about physical Israel. We're talking about born again Israel, born from above Israel. That is those who have circumcision in heart, not in flesh. So God is going to put one shepherd over his people. Watch the miracle. It's coming. And Ezekiel 37, 23 and 24 says, neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols. Oh, praise God. Nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places. Where was that? That was those palaces that were being torn, taken apart, you know. Wherein they have sinned. And will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their God. God is so merciful, he's going to save his people from this mess that we call Christianity. Loosely called Christianity. Okay, verse 24. And my servant David shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd, and they all shall also walk in mine ordinances and observe my statutes and do them. Well, they've never done that before. That's a major miracle there, isn't it? And when did this great revival of the dry bones of Christianity start? Well, when Ezekiel, who was caught up to the throne of God as the man-child in Revelation 12 was, prophesied to this great army to stand up at the time of a great earthquake, which I believe will be the New Madrid. Ezekiel 37 and verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied there was a noise, and behold, an earthquake. And the bones came together, bone to its bone. And as you know, the story was they stood up a mighty army. Oh my gosh. Think about what Jesus passed on to his disciples, and those disciples passed on to further disciples. They went out solo, of course, in the second 3.5 years by typology. And they raised up a bunch of people that couldn't be conquered. This is a mighty army. And Merlene said to Sandy last Monday night during the meeting when we were doing warfare, I thought I heard swords being taken from their sheaths. It was I was caught up in the prayers and gave no more thought to it. And then when we read out loud the above passage, I knew that I had heard the metallic sounds of the swords coming out of their sheaths in unison as one. Then I knew that there were four angels. I saw a large forearm with the hand pulling out the sword. I saw this between Don and Greg as I was looking ahead of me and slightly to the right of where I was sitting. Well, I believe the deep state, Babylon, is going to attack Christian kingdoms soon, but true Christians have a Psalm 91 Passover in which the wicked are destroyed and those under the blood of the Lamb are spared, like as happened at the Passover in the Red Sea. We've been telling you about the Red Sea coming, and I know we're seeing little dribbles of it, you know, but the biggest part of this is yet to come. We've come to the dangerous place. Here's the place that the deep state is looking down the barrel of a gun, and Trump is on the other end of it. And they've got to do something to save themselves, and they don't care how many people they kill to get it done. They've got to get him to give up this direction. From what I've understood, they've tried to kill him 12 times and failed every time. Last time was a missile shot at Air Force One out of a submarine. And it missed because God wanted it to miss. And also in the natural, I do believe that they have EMP type weapons on Air Force One to distract missiles. And so anyway, but God didn't want him to be taken out because he got a job to do and he's going to do it. He's Cyrus. Cyrus can't fail. We already know the history, right? So, just a few words we've received by faith at random about the time we got this revelation that speak about the deliverance of God's people from bondage and from evil shepherds. I'm not sure I'll get through all these. I know I won't. But in Ephesians 4 and 32, Debbie got, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, even as God also in Christ forgave you." And then she got another verse, 1 Peter 4 and 7. "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore of sound mind and be sober unto prayer. And above all things, be fervent in your love among yourselves. For love covereth a multitude of sins." There's a covering right there you can have just by loving, not being critical, not being unforgiving. If you do this, you will escape. If you're full of bad feelings against other people, unforgiveness for people in your past who have done you wrong, etc., 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 you're not going to escape because Jesus said if you don't forgive, you're not going to be forgiven. And if you're not forgiven, you don't get these blessings. And Deb received, she received it from a list of those escaping from bondage is where this text is. Ezra 8 and 13. "And the sons of Adonijah that were the last, and these are their names, Eliphelet, Jeuel, and Shemaiah, with them 70 males." So Deb actually gave us the meaning of these words, these names. Adonijah is "My Lord arose." Eliphelet, "God is deliverance." Jeuel, "Carried away of God." And Shemaiah, "Heard by the Lord." Pretty cool, huh? You think in a verse like that, what can God get me out of that verse? I wonder how that fits anything. Well, just add it all up and you got it. The Lord arose and brought deliverance. He carried away his people. And or you can also see that he carried away the wicked by a flood. You know, okay. And then heard by the Lord. Awesome. And Leon got Job 36 and 6. "He that preserveth He preserveth not the life of the wicked, but giveth to the afflicted their right. Oh, glory be to God. And Michael Hare got Lamentations 1:1-2. How doth the city sit solitary that was full of people? And that's talking about the leadership of God's people. Jerusalem was the leadership of God's people. All of the rest of the church of that day submitted to Jerusalem, okay? That was full of people. She has become as a widow that was great among the nations. Apostates were driven from their land by God through their sin, right? That's what happened to make this text correct. She that was a princess among the provinces is become tributary. She weepeth sore in the night. Her tears are on her cheeks. Among all her lovers she hath none to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. Judas's, right? They are become her enemies. Yes. So, many people are going to rise up against the apostate church. They won't be able to touch the bride. That's the pattern. Denny got this, Exodus 1:11. Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh store cities, Pithom and Ramses. You know what? This is so clear. The people of God are building a religious kingdom of this world and not in the promised land, and not because of the promises of God. You don't need to have the Holy Spirit to do this. You can't follow the Holy Spirit and build these foolish kingdoms that God himself is going to cause to crumble. And Judy got Jeremiah 25:32-38. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation. Now, we're not talking about timing here. We're talking about the principle of what he tells you is going to happen. So we're not taking it literally. We're taking it spiritually, right? Behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great tempest shall be raised up from the uttermost parts of the earth. By the way, this deep state is throughout the nations, folks. And the slain of the Lord shall be at that day from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. Sometimes the word earth can also be land, so it could be talking about a certain land here too. They shall not be lamented, neither gathered nor buried. They shall be dung upon the face of the ground. Kind of like what you do when somebody's got a very bad disease. Nobody wants to touch them. Wail, ye shepherds, and cry, and wallow in ashes, you principal of the flock. Oh, for the days of your slaughter and of your dispersions are fully come, and you shall fall like a goodly vessel. So he's going to take out these plundering shepherds with their 17 airplanes and all the other stuff, stupid stuff. And the shepherds have no way to flee, nor the principal of the flock to escape. A voice of the cry of the shepherds and the wailing of the principal of the flock, for the Lord layeth waste their pasture. Mm-hmm. And the peaceable folds are brought to silence because of the fierce anger of the Lord. He hath left his covert as the lion. For their land is become an astonishment because of the fierceness of the oppressing sword and because of his fierce anger. Hard things coming, huh, saints? Elena got this on, let's see, Isaiah 10:20-27. And it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel and they that are escaped of the house of Jacob shall no more lean upon him that smote them, but shall lean upon the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in truth. Isaiah 10 is the Assyrians attacking God's people, right? As you know, they couldn't touch the bride. They lost their 185,000 at that time when they tried it. A remnant shall return, even the remnant of Jacob, unto the mighty God. For though thy people Israel be as the sand of the sea, only a remnant of them shall return. A destruction is determined, overflowing with righteousness. Yes, God's going to clean out the church. He's going to weed the church. For a full end, and that determined, will the Lord of hosts, make in the midst of all of the earth. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, O my people, that dwellest in Zion. Okay, that's the bride. Be not afraid of the Assyrian. Well, who's he telling to be afraid? The apostates. Though he smite thee with the rod and lift up his staff against thee after the manner of Egypt. Yep, they did all the way around the wall. But yet a very little while, and the indignation against thee shall be accomplished, and mine anger shall be directed to his destruction. So God's going to use the deep state to do this, and then God's going to take out the deep state. And the Lord of hosts will stir up against him a scourge or a whip, as in the slaughter of Midian at the rock of Oreb. And his rod will be over the sea, and he will lift it up after the manner of Egypt. Uh-huh. Well, he lifted up the sea, did he not? And he turned it loose on Pharaoh and his army. Okay. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall depart from off of thy shoulder. There it is. That's how they're going to be able to follow the reformers. And his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed by reason of fatness. That's the anointing that breaks the yoke, right? So we see here the Red Sea deliverance for a remnant. The Assyrian is scourged after conquering all but Zion, the bride, right? Boy, this is something, isn't it? Well, I'm not going to be able to read the rest of them, but I'll put them in this text here and you can read it, okay? Father, thank you so much for giving us this warning, and thank you for going forth to protect your people during this time. We praise you and thank you, Lord, that Psalm 91 is ours. Praise God. The Passover is ours. And we ask you to anoint and bless Michael Hare as he comes forth to share a message to and bless the people to hear. And thank you so much, Father, in the name of Jesus. Well, amen. Thank you so much, saints. We'll do this again sometime.